Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and England's adopted son, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. If you want to call, ask some questions, or just give your 2 cents, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. Hit option one if you want to talk to us, and we'll be here tonight till about 9 p.m. Today, we're going to talk about Manny Pacquiao is close to setting his next fight, and we'll tell you who. You're going to be shocked. Let's go, champ. Shannon Briggs finally gets his title shot. We'll talk about that, and it's a brand new year, but we still have the train wreck of the week. But first, we get started with the fights over the break. Hank Lundy versus John Delperdang, John Bang Bang Delperdang. Hank Lundy held off a spirited effort by John Delperdang to win the UBF lightweight championship. Lightweight championship on Friday night in Cincinnati, Ohio. Lundy controlled the action through the early part of the fight, but you know, he began to tire around the sixth round. That's one of the things I noticed, man, is that he was really breathing heavy right around the middle of the fight, man. Delperdang started extremely slow, had problems solving Lundy's speed. I mean, it looked like Delperdang was stuck in the mud in those first 4 rounds. I was sitting next to a guy, and we looked at each other, and I said, you know what, they might have to stop this fight because he was eating a lot of shots. Didn't look like he was being rocked, per se, just taking a lot of unnecessary shots, and, I mean, it didn't look like he had the answer. I mean, Lundy was just so fast. My gosh. God, he was just quick, man. But, you know, Delperdang hung on. He found his rhythm, and in round six, he had a good round in round six. He had a good round at seven. I didn't give him either one of those rounds, but he had Lundy hurt in rounds eight and nine. He had him wobbled. Lundy was slowing down, but was able to draw on his experience, take back control in the championship rounds. Overall, it was a great action fight and special appearance by Hank Lundy's friend, Cincinnati's own Adrian Bronner, was in the audience. After the fight, Hank Lundy stated that he would be ready to go again in February, which just happens to be the month Adrian Bronner will make his homecoming to Cincinnati on a Showtime card. So very interesting stuff there. Lundy overall looked good, but I got to be honest, Lundy was a minus 4,000 favorite. He was a minus 4,000 on the money line. Would you expect a knockout in that fight?
Yeah. Being a minus 4,000, I would, you know, I'm going to kid around here, I mean, but, you know, this is just a joke, but I would expect his opponent to leave in the pine box if he's a minus 4,000. I mean, there's no way that guy should finish on his feet or should, you know, make it to the end, the last bell of the final round. There's no way.
What does that equate to? What does that equate to odds-wise? Is that like 40 to 1 or is that 400 to 1?
It's like 400 to 1. Yeah. That's
I mean, that's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous, man.
Well, it's almost like Lundy didn't take it seriously, Eric.
Yeah.
No, I disagree. I mean, he was in really good shape. And I tell you what, Delperdang, he had like 11 pro fights coming in. I think he was 10-1. And he was so confident, so relaxed. And then I'm like, wow, maybe, you know, I can't wait. I mean, I saw a video of him and everything like that before the fight. He looked good. You know, I thought that, yeah, you know, his inexperience, I thought he was going to have a lot of inexperience in there, and I thought Lundy could draw on that, you know, and take advantage. But Lundy, you know, really, everything riding on this fight. He loses to Delperdang. That's it. Because he's the one that says, hey, I'm going to go down to 135 and take all the belts, and that I was fighting at 140 because no one will fight me, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes down, and he had some trouble with this kid. In fact, he had a lot of trouble with this kid. I left there. I wanted to see Delperdang fight again. You know, on his next fight, I really want to see him fight again. that's who I was looking at. You know, it's almost like, you know, sometimes when you lose, you really win. And I think that was the case for this kid. But Hank Lundy, I mean, if he had, you know, from an outsider looking in, you know, from an outsider looking in perspective, if he had that much trouble with Delperdang, what's he going to do against the upper echelon in the 135 division? You know, what's he going to do against Rob Easter? I mean,
yeah. Well, Eric, that's why I said maybe he didn't take it seriously because, you know, as far as Hank Lundy was concerned, this kid was a no-name, you know.
Yeah,
correction.
That could be too.
Correction to the last question you asked, and I apologize for jumping in. It actually is 40-1, not 400-1.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 40-1. Yeah, it's to put things into perspective. But still, those are long odds.
That's
still
a big deal. Yeah, those are long odds, man.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you're a guy like Hank Lundy and you know that you're trying to get back in the mix, you can't take anybody lightly. Like every fight has to be like it's your last. You got to go out there and look to impress, especially against the guy that you're multiple levels above. And if you're not showing that, then, you know, obviously it's going to be a W in the win column. But the thing is anyone going to want to put you on if you can't prove to be a viable contender or a viable opponent? So that the champions want to go in there against the Hank Lundy, this version of a Hank Lundy who's not what he once was. That Hank Lundy that, you know, has put on good shows before, even though he lost, he still showed that he belonged to be in there. So the thing is this kid wasn't, his opponent wasn't supposed to act like he belonged, that, you know, he belonged in there or showed that he belonged in there with Hank Lundy. And, you know, from what you're saying, he actually did show that he belonged in there with Hank Lundy. And when you're fighting a 40-1 underdog, the guy's not supposed to look like he belongs in there with you because the odds do not suggest that. And that's not to say that, you know, the odds makers always have it right. But let's be clear here. 40-1, I mean, that's, they don't make too many mistakes when they're, you know, putting someone as a 40-1.
What were the scores, Eric?
The scores of the fight, let me see. You know what? I don't even think I wrote them down, but they were 117. I think it was 118-110 for both of them. There was two that were 118-110. One was 117-113 or 117-109 or something like that. But they gave Lundy, it was 10-2, 9-3, 10-2, somewhere in there.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was, and I gave him those two. I definitely gave him rounds 8 and 9. He had Lundy hurt. And this kid packs a wallop. I mean, this kid can punch. And I thought he was going to get Lundy out of there, man. And I tell you what, if his corner, I was right next to his corner at the time. I mean, and they are screaming at him to go to the body. They are screaming at Delperdang to go to the body, which was obviously sound advice because of Lundy's age and because Lundy in the sixth round was gone, you know. And if he would have went to that body earlier, who knows how this fight ends up, man. I mean, it was not I don't know if they miscalculated something or he just didn't take it serious or what the deal was, man. But Lundy was in great shape. Lundy was it looked to me like he was in really good shape at the weigh-in and everything like that. But yeah, I was surprised. I expected Lundy to knock him out early, you know, and make a statement like what he needed to do. But yeah, there was none of that here, man. Delperdang had different ideas for sure. And the fight was for the UBF, I guess, for the UBF lightweight title. And, you know, the UBF is one of the organizations where they do it to get ranked and stuff, like, you know, they win the title, then they get ranked. I was talking to the representative at the UBF, and he said that a lot of their guys go on and fight for the IBF title. So even though they're not affiliated with the IBF or anything, it seems like that's kind of the route that happens. Like the IBF kind of picks them up and goes that route. And I had never seen the UBF or even heard of them, to be honest with you. You know, they always come – you always seem like somebody sanctions the bouts and somebody, like, you know, gives them the 12 rounds. You know, so somebody always comes up with a title or whatever. But they seem to be a cool organization. I mean, and they look to be pretty solid. I know that belt was really nice, that's for sure. It was a very nice belt, man, that's for sure. But, yeah, it was a good time overall.
I have an update when you're ready.
Go ahead, Robert. For all of those, for everybody who's thinking about missing the game, Robert has the score. Go ahead.
Yeah, at the end of the third quarter, Green Bay 24, New York 13.
All right, there you go. There you go.
Yep.
And also, too, about this fight here, it was the first promotion. I guess it was promoted by Boom Promotions here in Cincinnati. I don't know who Boom Promotions is. I've never heard of them before. But they took it on the chin. I tell you what, I don't know what they – I can't imagine how much money they lost here, because there looked to be, just from the eye test, about 100 paid tickets in that gym. There looked to be less than 100 paid tickets in the gym. So, because you had fighters in back and you had their handlers and everything like that. And then you look out in the seats. I mean, it was empty. That being said, it was probably the coolest fight I'd ever been to, just because of that reason. It was like these two were fighting in your backyard or something like that. I mean, with that few people there, you could see everything. You could hear the corners clearly. It was really cool. It was really cool. So if you ever get a chance to go to like a fight in your area that's in like a local gym or like a small little venue, do it, man, because it's really cool.
How big a gym is it, Derek?
I think they were expecting 1,500 people. That would have been a good size, good crowd for them. But clearly, I mean, if I had to guess, if you had to put a gun to my head and make me guess, there was probably less than 50 paid people there. Now, I mean, obviously there was more people with fighters and handlers and everything, but there was probably less than 50 people there, 50 paid. So Adrian Bronner was also one in the attendance, and he took some pictures with fans, but largely went unnoticed. I don't think anybody really knew that was him or, you know, anything like that. It wasn't like really a boxing, you know, crowd per se. I think a lot of the paid people were family members and that kind of thing. But I will say this, I talked to him. He was the nicest guy you'll ever meet, man. He took a picture with me, talked to me for a little bit, talked to other fans, got pictures with them. Just very accommodating to people, man. Just super nice guy. Nothing like what you would expect from the guy that catches the train wreck of the week. Nothing like that at all. So there you go.
Okay.
All right.
Did you let him know? Did you let him know that he's the star of our train wreck of the week? Did you tell him that or no?
I did not tell him that. No.
I don't think you did.
That didn't come up in our conversation. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I did ask him. I did ask him for his next fight. I said, "Are you going to be talking to the media?" And he said, "Yeah, probably not." I was like, "Man,
no."
So.
He's got a reputation, Eric. You can't ruin it now, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, you don't want to do that, man. All right, so let's talk about our other fight. It was across the pond here in Tokyo. This was a fight in Tokyo. Naoya Inoue retained his title over Kohai Kono in the sixth round over the break in Tokyo. This was Inoue's fourth defense of his title. Inoue dominated every round of this fight. I watched this, and it was a clear blowout here. Ultimately finished with a big left hook that dropped Kono. Kono got up, and Inoue swarmed him, and that was it. I mean, the fight was stopped at 101 of the sixth round. Inoue looked really good in this fight and won in dominating fashion, but, you know, there's still, you know, I don't understand. I don't know why I'm not sold on him. I'm just not, you know. The guy Kono was a former champion, you know, so I think it was a good measuring stick for him, but it wasn't like this guy was an absolute killer or in his prime. So I want to see him fight somebody meaningful, and I don't know who that is in that division, but just somebody. I know they're talking about him and Chocolatito and everything, but I just want to see him fight somebody, you know, somebody with some substance here, you know, because he's really highly touted. But again, man, and again, I don't know that he's fought outside of Tokyo, and that's a big deal. You know, once you come out of there, it's just like the guys that, you know, that fight with up in Britain, you know, they fight in the UK. When they come out, you know, look at Liam Smith. When they come out of there, they look like world beaters over there, top fighters, and then they come out and just get demolished. You know, it's tough to say, but again, I can say the same thing when we go over there. So
that's
I don't know.
True.
All right, so let's talk about our upcoming fights here. January 13th, that's a Friday, yes, Robbie?
That is correct.
All right.
From Friday Hialeah, the 13th.
Florida. Oh, that's right. That's right. Friday the 13th from Hialeah, Florida. PBC on Spike. Aris Londi Lara versus Yuri Foreman. 12 rounds for Lara's WBA junior middleweight title. Also on the card, Andre Durrell will face Norbert Nemsapati. 10 rounds, super middleweights. And Juan Carlos Payano also on there will go against Asayo Gonzalo Carranza in eight or ten rounds. They don't have it listed here, the bantamweights. So there you go. Okay. And then on January 14th, the big one, in New York on Showtime, Badu Jack the Ripper versus James DeGale, 12 rounds for the WBC IBF super middleweight unification. And what a fight that's going to be. Also, too, on that undercard, Jose Pedraza versus Gervonta Davis, 12 rounds for Pedraza's IBF junior lightweight title. And also, too, this girl's been getting a lot of run. At least I've been getting a lot of press releases on her. Amanda Serrano versus Yasmin Rivas, 10 rounds, female junior featherweights. Robert, are you interested in that fight at all?
No, but I have heard an awful lot about Amanda Serrano, and she was the one I was trying to think of, but I couldn't think of her name when we were talking about Clarissa Shields. Because I've heard a lot of talk that those two might hook up eventually.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, so let's go back to the 13th. Let's talk about this fight. Does Arislandi Lara, I mean, does Yuri Foreman pose any threat to Arislandi Lara here?
In a word, no. Go ahead, Beeb, sorry.
Absolutely not. I just don't see it. How do you call a Triple G and then you turn around and fight a guy, with all due respect, you fight Yuri Foreman, a guy who's really hasn't been active and hasn't, you know, been at the top level for a long, long time. So
it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while,
yes,
for sure.
Yeah.
The last time I remember, Yuri Foreman is when he had a fight, you know, either with Miguel Cotto or on a Miguel Cotto undercard. I don't know which it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't. I don't know. And it looks like, I mean, if this were wrestling, like old time, you would say it was two squash matches here with Arislandi Lara and Yuri Foreman, and then Anthony Durrell versus Norbert Nemisipati. I don't know who Norbert Nemisipati is. I've never heard
of
him, guys.
Of him in my life.
So this is a complete setup for Durrell.
So would Yuri Foreman be like the Brooklyn Brawler in the WWE?
That's right.
That's right. He'd be the Brooklyn Brawler.
The Brooklyn Brawler?
Yeah, Anthony Durrell would be like Mike Jackson in the NWA, the jobber, the famous jobber Mike Jackson.
There you go.
I even think the guy selling the popcorn beat up the Brooklyn Brawler once.
That's right.
All right, and let's talk about Robert. You and I are going to give out. Actually, Robert, let me give. Let's give our take first, and then we're going to turn it over to Beating the Odds with Beeb here.
Okay.
For Badu Jack, James DeGale. I like Badu Jack in this fight, man. I just do. I've never been a big fan of DeGale. I don't know why. There's no reason why. I just think that I like Badu Jack. I like the way he fights. I think he's got a smart style. I think he knows when to turn it on. I think he's got power. I think that when he hits you, he can get your attention. And I think largely he can outbox you. He's such a good boxer. He does have a tendency to fade, but, you know, he faded in – last I remember, he faded in one fight. Against Durrell, he didn't fade, you know, so maybe it was something there. Maybe it was something – who knows? Maybe it was something in camp. Who knows what's going on? I like Badu Jack to win this fight via decision, though. Robert, what about you?
Well, you know what? I like both fighters, but I've been going back and forth on this fight all week because I like both fighters, but – I'm going to take James DeGale. I think James DeGale is going to put up a hell of a fight, and I do think it's going to go the distance. It'll probably be a split decision, but I'm gonna ride with the UK here and go with James DeGale.
Are you picking James DeGale because he has a hot sister?
No, that would be a good reason to do so, but I'm picking James DeGale because I think this is we're going to see whoever wins this fight, whether it's Badu Jack or James DeGale, one of these guys is going to establish themselves as a top draw in the 168-pound division. Because let's face it, there is no real superstar in the 168 division, and I think one of these guys is going to separate themselves to try to to lay claim to the top dog, and I think it's going to be the man from the UK. That's just my opinion.
All right. All right, let's talk about Jose Pedraza versus Gervonta Davis for Pedraza's IBF Junior Lightweight title. I was surprised when they had Pedraza as the favorite. I really was. I think Pedraza is right for the taking. I thought he lost to Edner Cherry here in Cincinnati. He's a good fighter, but, you know, and he's a very defensive fighter, too. And he's not going to knock Davis out. My question is, Davis doesn't go a lot of rounds. He's a knockout guy. What happens when he gets tied up? What happens when he's forced to do some rounds? I don't know. That being said, I still think Davis wins this. I think Davis is right for it, man. There's nothing I'd like more than to see Davis win this fight. I know he's been at odds with Floyd Mayweather about not moving to Las Vegas and that kind of thing. I think he trains in Baltimore, but he didn't want to move to Vegas. So him and Floyd are really at odds. I know when they asked Floyd about the fight, Floyd didn't have much to say about Davis. Talks more about James DeGale, talks more about Badu Jack, has very little to say about Gervonta Davis. I think this is a good matchup for Davis, and I think Pedraza can be hurt. I think Pedraza will be hurt, and I think Gervonta Davis gets him out of there. Robert, what do you think?
Oh, Eric, now, on this fight, we totally agree. Jose Pedraza is the weakest fighter in that division. That's 130, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's the weakest fighter in that division. I thought Edner Cherry clearly won that fight. I see Mr. Pedraza going to sleep in this fight at some point. Davis has the dynamite in his fist, and let's face it, with a Davis win, we get to see more drama between him and Mayweather. That's good for us because it gives us more to talk about. So I think Davis is going to knock out Jose Pedraza probably in the fifth round.
So if Amanda Serrano and Yasmin Rivas are on TV, will you watch them?
I'll watch because there's been a lot of talk about her, and there's been a lot of talk about her and Clarissa Shields. So I want to see, since I watched the Shields fight, I want to see if Serrano is something to get excited about. So, and look, we're going to be covering female boxing. So even those of us that don't really care for it, and I'm included in that camp, I think we've got to give it a fair justice and pay attention to it. So yes, if it's on TV, I will watch.
Would you secretly wish that one of them was home cooking your dinner instead? You're such a chauvinist, Robert.
No. Eric, come on. I'm not a male chauvinist pig. I just don't like to see women beat each other up.
Get me a cup of coffee, honey.
Joe, do you talk to Linda like that?
Absolutely not. I worship Linda.
Okay. And Eric,
I wash the dishes. I take out the trash. I do my chores.
And Eric, I'm sure you don't talk to Lisa like that.
What are you kidding? Lisa talks to me like that. What are you kidding me? You put me
okay.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now, look, for all those out there, I do believe women should have self-defense classes. But, you know, hey, we've got to cover this. So, yeah, I've got to pay attention to it. I may not like it, but I'm going to pay attention to it.
Wow.
Come on, Robbie. Give it a chance.
Chauvinist.
Give it a chance.
All right.
All right.
For the first time in 2017...
And now it's time for Beating the Odds with Beeb. Starring Britain's adopted son, Joe Habib.
Welcome, everyone. It's the first Beating the Odds with Beeb for 2017. And once again, I am excited. I'm fired up. But we're going to do something a little creative this week. We haven't done one of these in a long time, but we're actually going to do a parlay bet here. For those who are rookies to the gambling game, a parlay is when you bet on two fights, and you have to pick two winners. So if one of your fighters wins and the other one loses, then your parlay is busted and you lose the bet. Now we have two interesting fights, and they're pretty close to me on paper. But one of these fights that I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk about this one first because I'm actually a little bit more excited about it, is the Badu Jack James McGill fight. Now, that fight on paper, I think many of us could agree upon that that's a 50-50 fight, but the odds makers don't see it that way. They have James McGill at a whopping minus 285 and Badu Jack at a surprising plus 240. So there's something they like about James McGill, and there's probably a chink in Badu Jack's armor. Maybe they haven't gotten over that James Edwards fight, so that's why he's a decent-sized underdog. And also, the other fight we're going to be talking about is the Javante Davis and the Jose Pedraza fight. And, Pedraza is a minus 120, and Javante Davis is a plus 100. So that's as close to a 50-50 fight on paper and odds-wise that you're going to get. And I'll talk about that fight. I have an interesting twist on that fight as well. So, first of all, let's talk about this fight, Badu Jack and James McGill. They have three common opponents. They both fought Lucien Bute. They both fought George Groves, and they also both fought Marco Antonio Paraben. And can't forget about that Derek Edwards loss. That still sticks out there for Badu Jack. But Badu Jack has a draw with Paraben in a very close fight. Also has a draw against Bute. And I think he just etched by George Groves. When you look at James McGill fought George Groves when they were both very, very young in their careers. And a lot of people thought James McGill won that fight. I actually thought Groves eked it out. But with that being said, I think that, you know, both those guys were on the same level at that particular time. Whereas when Badu Jack fought George Groves was somewhat on the downslide. And, you know, he was really expected to lose that fight pretty handily against Badu Jack because of, you know, his recent fights with Kyle Froch and not looking great and fading. So both these guys, Badu Jack and James McGill, they've been criticized for fading down the stretch. But the thing is, you know, James McGill has never been knocked out, you know, and, you know, we've seen Badu Jack hurt in fights, seen, you know, Derek Edwards knock him out. And, you know, when we've seen him fade, he seems to fade badly. Whereas with McGill tends to fade, but he likes to play around as the fight goes on. When he starts feeling comfortable, that's when he starts playing around, starts throwing less punches. So I think the problem with McGill is he fights down to the level of his opposition. Now, when you look at both these guys' styles, you know, Badu Jack is more simplistic. He's just a more straight up and down guy, a 1-2 type guy, a basic guy. And that's not to discredit him, because what he does well, it may not be flashy, it may not be dynamic, but it's effective and it's efficient, and he wins fights that way. Whether he wins them by a mile or he ekes them out, he's still effective in that style. He's just an athlete. But, you know, we have seen him box as well. But going back to what I said, likes to clown around when he's in there with guys who he's expected to beat and who he thinks he's levels above. He tends to just underestimate guys, which you shouldn't do at this level, because obviously the stakes are always high when you're a champion. No one wants to lose their title, because once you lose your title, you got to go back to the back of the line. But I think James McGill will be serious in this fight. I think you'll see the best James McGill, and I think you'll see the best Badu Jack. And if you see both guys come out really mentally focused, I think James McGill is the guy with more bags in the, you know, more tricks in the bag, I should say, a little bit more bullets in the chamber. He's got more ways to win. Because I think he's faster, because I think he's a harder puncher, because I think he's more athletic, and because I just think he could fight inside, outside, whereas Jack is more effective on the outside, I just think that James McGill will have just a little bit more ability, more in the tank. I don't think he'll fade in this fight, whereas I think Jack tends to fade regardless of who he's in there with. And going back to what I said about McGill loses rounds later in the fight because he tends to get a little bit too comfortable, a little too cocky. So I don't think it's a conditioning thing with McGill, whereas I think it's more of a conditioning thing with Jack. And I just think if, McGill, you know, hits Jack one time and really hurts him, I think because he's so explosive, he's so quick, and the way he just puts shots together. Go back to that Andre Durrell fight where he came into Andre Durrell's backyard. Well, you know, United States, obviously, it's Durrell's home territory, not necessarily his backyard. But he put Durrell down twice. He hurt Durrell, and he almost finished him. And, you know, he really put on an outstanding performance against a top-level guy. Whereas, like I said, we don't always see Badu Jack, you know, look spectacular. I don't think I've ever seen him look spectacular against a top-level guy, whereas I've seen James DeGale look very, very sharp against tough guys. So with that being said, I'm going to go with James DeGale in the first fight of our parlay, and I wouldn't be surprised if he stopped Jack late in this fight because a guy like DeGale, who's such a sharp puncher, can hit you with those sneaky, unorthodox shots, particularly those uppercuts on the inside. People don't see those shots, and I think a guy like Badu Jack, who may be fading down the stretch, gets it with a shot he doesn't see. You could see DeGale get him out of there, possibly in the in between the 9th, 10th, and 11th rounds. I'm going to say DeGale stops Badu Jack in round 10 in this fight. So now I'm going to move on to the second fight of our parlay, which is Devontae Davis versus Jose Pedraza. Now, obviously, you know, when you look at Javante Davis, the resume is not spectacular. But one thing does stand out, the 15 knockouts in 16 fights. And the one name, recognizable name on that record is Cristobal Cruz, former featherweight champion. Very, very durable guy. Javante Davis got him out of there in 3 rounds. Javante Davis is a guy where if you give him the eye test, he really looks like a spectacular, dynamic, explosive-type fighter. And when he hurts his opponents, he wastes no time in getting them out of there. And he has that type of power where he can tag you with a short shot on the inside, and he just freezes his opponents, and that's when he just pours on and he gets them out of there, you know, mercilessly. This guy is a devastating, merciless-type fighter. Pedraza got a pretty good resume. Andres Klimas, I believe you pronounced that name, the Russian guy, very tough guy. Stephen Smith, pretty promising guy, a UK fighter, decent guy. But that one fight that stands out on Pedraza's record is Edner Cherry. That was a fight that I thought he lost. And I think the big weakness he's shown in that fight was his inability to really hold his own on the inside. Now, he's a taller guy. He's a guy who likes to fight on the outside. He's another guy who likes to throw that long jab and throw the long straight right hand behind it. He's not a fancy guy either. Doesn't move his head very well. I think he's very lax defensively. I don't think he's solid defensively. I think he gets hit a lot. And against Edna Cherry, he really showed a weakness on the inside because Edna Cherry really landed some decent body shots in there that really hurt him. And I thought he was outworked in that fight. So in this fight, you know, going back to the eye test with Davis, brings me to mind what Errol Spence, because a lot of people were saying, you know, Errol Spence really hasn't fought anybody, but when you give him the eye test, you can really tell this guy's fight. This guy can fight. This guy's dangerous. This guy's explosive. He's a solid fighter. And then when he did fight pretty decent guys like Chris Algieri, and then he fought Leonard Bundu, two guys who've never been stopped before, two guys who are very durable guys, he went out there and really lit the world on fire and really did to them what no one else could do. So we gave the thumbs up. A lot of us gave a thumbs up to Spence before he really fought anyone of note. And when he did fight someone of note, we were right in our assessment from our eye test saying that Spence is the goods. Now, is Javante Davis the goods? We don't know that yet, but the potential is there. You know, 15 knockouts, and the way he's knocking these guys out, just seeing him when he lands punches against guys, I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's the guy at Subway ringing up your order. He's hitting guys, and he's freezing them. And they're just like, out. So that's a guy who can punch, number one. And number two, he really can put shots together, and he's a really, really tough guy on the inside, and he's a physically strong guy. Whereas Pedraza is not a physically strong guy. Seen him get thrown around a lot, get bullied on the inside, number one. He doesn't move his head. So because of those two things, I think it's going to be a pretty, I'm not going to say an early night. I'm looking for a mid-round stoppage from Javante Davis, possibly in 5 or 6 rounds. I'm going to say a fifth round stoppage for Gervonta Davis. So we're going to pick Davis, and we're going to pick the Gale. And because this parlay is very interesting, I think the reason why I'm advising people to take this is because you don't want to put that minus 285, you know, to make your 100 back, and you don't want to put, you know, you don't want to put up 100 just to get 100 back. So in this way, if we bet these two fights and put them in a parlay, put up 100, we'll get 200 back. So it's a little bit more than 2-1 in your favor by putting this in a parlay style type wager. So that's why I'm recommending the parlay, because I really do like the Gale and I really do like Davis. So let's pair these two up and let's start the new year off with a nice value play here. We're going to get a plus 200 here. Money in the bank. Beating the odds with Pete. Let's get it.
Okay, and I have an update for everybody in the Green Bay Giants game. 8 minutes and 31 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. Green Bay is now ahead 31-13, and the Giants turn the ball over. Green Bay is driving for another score.
Man, that ain't looking good for the Giants fans. So both of you guys are picking James DeGale.
Yes.
Correct.
Is that right? Is there no loyalty on this show anymore? Did you guys forget Badu Jack is a friend of the show? Am I the only one that remembers that Badu Jack is a friend of the show? There is no loyalty on this show.
You bet with your wallet. You bet with your wallet.
Horrible.
Not your heart. You bet with your wallet, not your heart. That's how it is, brother. It's real in the field. It's real in the field. You bet with your wallet. You know, and then you got the 2008. The 2008 gold medalist at middleweight, the UK's finest, came over here and just took the title in Beantown, from Super Six tournament competitor Andre Jarrell. What a fabulous victory. I mean, what more can you say about that? This is a guy who's he's the prototypical road warrior. Talking about these UK guys who hold their belts hostage. This guy continuously comes to the United States and he lets everyone know, you know what? I am world renowned. I am world class. I'm ready. I'm ready to show people what I'm made of. I'm not going to hide in my backyard and put my belt on lock in the UK somewhere. I'm going to come over here, the United States. This is the type of fighter who you always wanted, Eric. You've always criticized a lot of these fighters for winning the title and then taking it back to the UK and not testing themselves against United States fighters. This guy is continuously doing that. This is why he's got the resume. This guy is world class. This guy is outstanding. This guy is just super duper dynamic. He's going to show people what he's made of, man. You're going to see. This is a fight of his life, right? It's a unification fight. Everything's on the line here. He's going to show up, and he's going to show up to win, and he's going to look good doing it.
And besides, Eric, I love the idea of Floyd Mayweather having a 50-50 night. One win, one loss.
Look at you. You guys are so disloyal. It makes me sick. Just sick. And Badu Jack, by the way, beat a Durrell. He was in the Olympics, too. He doesn't get any run for that, except from me.
No medal!
I'm the only...
No medal! No medal!
None. No medal.
He didn't get a medal, though. James DeGale got the gold. James DeGale won the gold.
They don't have they don't have full-time training over there. All right. Go to the phones. 812, you are live.
Hey, good evening.
Joe,
everybody,
what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy New Year. How's everybody doing?
We're
good.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, good. Hey, B, let me start off first. I heard you give the Brooklyn Brawler a shout out. Actually, guys, and Robbie could attest to this. The worst jobber ever in WWE was Barry Horowitz. I don't know if you remember a guy by the name
of Barry Horowitz.
What about Salvatore Palomo? Salvatore Palomo.
Palomo was good, man. He at least had a run. He had some wins.
Yeah, Barry and the Brooklyn Brawler had zero wins. But guys, let me get started. First off, Happy New Year. I'm really excited about the fights. We jump off with I think Laura's easily going to handle business Friday night. And then Saturday, man, Eric, you're my boy. I want to ride with you. But James McGill, to me, is just more skilled, more athletic. And I think he's going to get a close decision over Badu Jack. As far as Jose T's fight against Davis, now, I like Davis as a prospect. I think the Puerto Rican has some experience in there. And I do think with all the distraction that Davis is going on with the Mayweather camp, I think that's going to show up in this fight. I mean, I know they're going to try to go for the knockout, but when you're going up in there against a champion, I think the Puerto Rican's going to get a close decision. It's mind-boggling that Mayweather's promoting Chris Brown more than he's actually promoting Davis. I mean, it's just so much drama going on in that camp. Me being Puerto Rican, I'm a little biased. So I think that fight's going to be good. And I'm actually just pulling, I'm a big fan of the Brooklyn boxing scene. So I'm really hoping that a big crowd can come out and really support the card. I mean, I've been checking on Ticketmaster and probably tickets are, reasonable for that card. It's a solid stack card. So hopefully we'll get a good turnout. Eric, I'm still, I'm definitely in on that Adrian Broner card. I mean, that card is stacked. I'm just waiting. Check daily for when the tickets go on sale, but they have not released the venue or ticket release date yet. But I'm definitely going.
I got an update on that. Let me tell you about that. And you know what? I'm trying to get some confirmation on this too, because on ESPN, on the schedule, they had Gary Russell on there, and now he's not on there. So I don't know if something happened, but then, it's being reported that he's going to be there. So maybe the contract just isn't official. I don't know. But not going to be a
U.S. Thomas Williams, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's going to be good. It's a good undercard. But U.S. Bank has got something going on that night, so it will not be at U.S. Bank, which I think is good. It's going to be on Xavier's campus, from everything I'm hearing, and it makes most sense. It's going to be at the campus of Xavier University. So that makes a lot more sense. It's less seats. It's a smaller venue. And, last time when Broner fought there, I think they got less than 5,000, I want to say. I think they got underneath 5,000. So
that's correct.
This is a good thing. This is a good thing.
Hey Eric, is that downtown Cincinnati? Is it kind of the same distance?
It's in the vicinity. It's in the vicinity. It's not exactly downtown. Okay. But it's in the vicinity. It's not too far from. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm so close, man. I'm only about close to 3 hours from you guys. So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna drive up that day and just hang out, get me a hotel, or me and a buddy of mine, we're gonna go for the whole day, but I'll be there right when the first card starts, man. I love going to the undercards, but there's so many stars that it's gonna be. I mean, the card is stacked, man. So yeah, you can't miss out on that. But I'm hoping to nail some ringside seats. I don't see ringside going over $300, so hopefully, that can happen. No. But like I said, I do like Javonte Davis's upside, guys. I just think there's a lot of beef and drama going on, and I can hear Mayweather now saying if Davis loses, he can come out and be saying, he didn't want to come train up here, and I hope he learned his lesson and, come back and, we'll get him right. So, I could see that happening, but there's just so many great cards, fights coming up, man. It's just, I thought it was going to take a while for boxing to bounce back, but I tell you what, 2017 can really has the potential. Well, we don't even have to think about 2016 boxing anymore, so that's what I'm hoping for. But glad you're back. And, if you got any questions, if not, Eric, I'll be seeing you soon. And Robbie, man, I feel for you, man. I wanted to call you yesterday, dude, but I know how that stuff feels, man. That's why I just left you alone after. I know that heartbreak, man. You checked in the Heartbreak Hotel yesterday, so I just wanted to leave you alone.
Yeah, well, you can't do much when your third-string quarterback doesn't get much chance to play, and then he's thrown in a playoff game, and they didn't set up the right kind of game plan for him. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, I hear
what
it. Hey, B, real quick.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Beeb, I was going to ask you, that Corolla fight, Corolla versus who's the guy he's fighting again in that rematch?
Linares.
Jorge Linares? Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Where are they going to have that? They're going to have that in the big stadium
England.
Again?
Yeah.
Let me see if I have that.
Davey Boy. On, I know I got Davey Boy's in the chat. Davey Boy's in the chat. Davey Boy, where's that fight going to be? Davey Boy will tell us.
And by
Manchester Arena and Manchester. March 25th.
By the way, it's now 38-13 Green Bay. You can stick a fork in the New York football Giants.
Bobby, oh, man. That's going to be a good – I wish they would give Linares a chance and bring that to the U.S. since he won, but I think they just draw more money out there, you know.
Yeah, it's a huge fight in the U.K., man. It's a huge fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, hey, good talking with you again, and glad you guys are back for the new year. And you know,
absolutely,
hope the show keeps growing. And you know, you got my support, and glad to be back, guys. You guys have a good evening.
All right, Joey.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks for calling, man.
No problem.
And we'll be seeing him soon here in Cincinnati on the 18th, hopefully. Yeah. So, all right. So, talk to me about that. I want to go to NFL here for a minute here because since he brought that up. So David Carr got hurt. They put in their second string. Was it McGoin or something like that? He got hurt.
Yeah.
And then so they had a third string there. Now how come was McGoin the second string unable to play?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
To be honest with you, I don't even know why Matt McGoin was dressed, because they dressed him as the backup. But he had no shot at playing. He's probably going to have shoulder surgery. And I don't even know why he was in uniform. They signed a quarterback. They put him on the practice squad. But he hadn't been with the Raiders for over a year. And their emergency quarterback, if Cook would have gotten hurt, would have been Michael Crabtree, who's a wide receiver. So, we were just handicapped from the very beginning. I mean, look, injuries are going to occur, and what happened to Derek Carr, it could happen at any time. It just happened at the wrong time because, you know, broken leg out 6 to 8 weeks, you know, you know, what can you do?
It happened in Miami, too, with Tannehill.
You know,
I mean, he got hit, too, right before the playoffs, so doesn't it? You know, when it hits you, I don't know, man. So, but they got a good core team there. It seems like they got a good building block. I mean, definitely a good core team. So they should with the drafts and everything like that, they should be right there, man.
We have to improve our defense. Our defense was suspect. We spent a lot of money on our defense last year, but it wasn't enough. We have to put more money into that because when your quarterback goes down, if you have to use your backup, that your defense has to step up, and they didn't do that yesterday. So, you know, we had a shot at making some noise in the playoffs, but I knew once Derek Carr got hurt, that shot was out the window. So it is what it is.
Man, that sucks. At least you guys got in. The Bengals didn't even come close, man. So, ugh.
Eric, no offense, but when you got idiots like Adam Pac-Man Jones, you're not going to go very far.
How dare you? Idiots like Pac-Man, because he got arrested. Wait, are you going to pile on him because he got arrested? Who doesn't get arrested? Everybody gets arrested. It wasn't even a big deal. So he was knocking on some doors, you know, and he headbutted a cop. I mean, that kind of stuff goes on all the time. Man, boys will be boys. You know what I mean? You just got to let him play. That's it. That's, you know, I mean, come on. Nobody's a pile on him for that.
There you go. There you go.
All right. So, also, too, I wanted to let you guys know, and Beeb can attest to this, too. We have an interview out there with Tony Bellew. You can either subscribe to our channel and download it there on iTunes, or you can go to Beating the Odds with Beeb, and he's got the interview. You got the interview posted, right, Beeb?
I do, it's an awesome interview.
Yeah, so he's got it posted as well. So Tony Bellew talks about how he's going to knock out David Hay or beat David Hay or whatever. So
right.
It is really good, though, and I think he will beat David Hay.
I agree.
Yeah, see, we both agree. There it is. See, Robbie's loyal. Robbie's got loyalty. All right, news and rumors. Ricky Hatton, this is a sad story, man. Ricky Hatton reveals he contemplated suicide. Former two-weight world champion Ricky Hatton has revealed he tried to kill himself several times during his battle with depression. Hatton admitted there was a huge gap in his life after retiring from boxing that saw him take on the likes of Mayweather and Pacquiao. He said, quote, I tried to kill myself several times. Hatton said in an interview on BBC. I used to go to the pub, come back, take out a knife, and sit there in the dark crying hysterically. There were times where I hadn't had a drink for days, and I'd still come home and think something. And if something went through my mind, I'd start pondering something. It was the same outcome whether I was having a drink or not. But in the end, I thought I'll end up drinking myself to death, and I was so miserable. How sad is that? He said, I was coming off the rails with my drinking, and that led to drugs. It was like a runaway train. In October, Tyson Fury opened up about his battle with depression. Frank Bruno did the same. He said, he thinks there should be more done for boxers. Beeb, do you agree?
I do. You know, and this is the thing. Boxing is like your life. When you're a boxer, it's like 24/7. You live the life of a boxer the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed. And once that's taken away from somebody, something that's their whole life, that's like, this is going to sound kind of strong. It's going to sound a little bit outlandish to some, but it's like losing a loved one. When you're married to someone, or you have a child, or you have a father or a mother that you're real close to, and then that person's gone. It's a culture shock to you. You know what I'm saying? And boxing, to a lot of fighters, to most fighters who are really passionate about it, who are at that top level, it's their life. I mean, look at Ronda Rousey. I mean, it was becoming her life. That was who she was. And that's what people recognized her for. And she was able to, you know, get movie roles and get commercials and because of that stuff and be on shows and being interviewed. And once that has been taken away from her, once she lost that, I'm not going to say it was taken away from her, she lost that. So once you lose that, that's a huge void. And unfortunately, a lot of times that void is filled with alcohol, it's filled with drugs, and it's filled with boatloads of depression. And because of the depression, that's the alcohol and the drugs are, you know, supposed to kind of ease that or take that away. And for some people, you know, drugs is the answer. Alcohol is the answer. So, I just think that, you know, there should be a place, there should be some type of fund or something, or some type of organization that can help these fighters out and put all these fighters together in a room and just let them talk about, you know, what the problem is, what's missing, why they feel the way they feel. And eat, talk to each other and say, look at something besides drugs, besides alcohol. What else makes me happy? What else puts a smile on my face? You know, maybe that would help them. So, yeah, I think that there should be something done, and I hope there will be something done in the future. I know the WBC, I know people criticize WBC a lot, but WBC has worked on getting pensions for fighters. They, you know, they're supposedly working on the clean drug program, which hasn't really been too successful. But, you know, let's see if these sanctioning bodies can help out. You know, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I'm all for it, definitely.
We've covered this subject, guys, back when the whole Tyson Fury story was going on and he was in the news week after week for various things. Somebody's mental health is very, very serious. And because boxing is the kind of sport it is, you definitely need to have some kind of plan for them when they're no longer able to fight. And I know like the UFC is trying to, the fighters are trying to unionize. I don't know if something like that would work for boxers, but something has to be done so their well-being can be cared for after they have to step away from the sport as far as being a participant. I mean, that's why I think people like Bernard Hopkins fought as long as they did. Roy Jones is continuing to fight. Paulie Malignaggi is continuing to fight. You know, that's why when, you know, we joke about it sometimes, but I always have concerns when fighters approach the age of 40, you know, is how successful they're going to be, because I think they're just trying to hang on to what they know, and you know, sometimes that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And a lot of people say, well, you know, is it really the responsibility of the promoters to take care of the managers to take care of these guys? And I kind of think it is. I really think it is, because, you know, you're putting these guys in the ring. I mean, and granted, they have something to say. They have a say too. They don't have to do it. but you know the risks, and they know the risks. It, you know, just like them complaining about the million-dollar policy in New York, you know, that it's going to be too much money. Well, look, that's the game. That's the way it is. You know, if you go ask who was the guy that just got injured from Puerto Rico, you know what I'm talking about, and he's still in a coma.
Well, what about
Nick Blackwell, Eric?
Right. What about him? You know, and this guy goes back into the ring and spars like an idiot, you know?
Yeah. Again,
clearly,
it's because of what they know. Look at Gerald McClellan. I mean, look at how many years ago that was. You know, Roy Jones still, I pick on him all the time for fighting, but he gives a lot of his money when he fights still to Gerald McClellan to this day.
Preacher Cologne is the guy you were referencing.
Yeah, that was the guy, Preacher Cologne. Yeah.
And, you know, so you talk about that million-dollar policy, and you guys scoff at it. You know, I hear, like, Lou DiBella scoffing at it, saying, well, now we can't put on any fights, blah, blah, blah. You look at Preacher Cologne, and you tell me that, you know, and then you say that's too much money. Come on, man.
What about Magnumov? Remember Magnumov, the Russian guy, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a list miles long. And then, you know, you got Tyson Fury, a guy who's right there. You know what? And I blame his handlers. I mean, you got to blame, you know, I blame his handlers, too, because they knew. They knew he was messed up. You had to know he was messed up. You can't work with a guy that closely for that long and then not know. You're with him, and I don't care if you were with him for a year or 6 weeks. You know, because you work with him pretty close. You know,
yeah.
So I mean, somebody's got to start taking responsibility. I mean, and we had this talk. I mean, I was talking to my dad about this the other day, right? My dad and my wife about this the other day when the shooting in Florida happened, and unfortunate, you know, he was at the airport and the guy, you know, was from Puerto Rico, I guess, and he shot those people at the airport and then laid his gun down. This guy suffered from mental illness. I mean, he's clearly, and he suffered from PTSD. You know, and et cetera. And it was like, you know, we get them ready to do, you know, we get them ready for what they need to do, but we don't get them ready to reacclimate themselves after they're done. And that's the part that bothers me.
Yeah.
It goes back to the old saying that, you know, people love you when you're on top, but then when you have that fall from grace, they forget about you. And it's a shame too, because these fighters, these managers and these promoters would be nothing without these fighters. It's not the other way around. You know, it's like this. You need, and don't take this wrong, I'm not calling the fighter the product, but if it's anything in life, if you're a businessman and you're selling something, you have to have something to sell. And I'm not saying that the boxes are pieces of meat or they're not products, but they are what people are buying. They're not paying to see the promoters, they're not paying to see the manager, they're paying to see the fighter. So it is all about the fighter. And that's the thing.
Hey, Beeb, I'm going to mute you here. You're breaking up. I'm going to bring you back on in just a second here, but you're actually breaking up. I can't, we're having a hard time hearing you. So, but Robbie, anything else to add on this? I mean,
something has to be done. And by the way, the game is officially over. 38-13, Green Bay wins. They go to Dallas next week.
Okay. I don't know if we're having blog talk or what, but it seems like everybody's
are you able to hear me?
So. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you and we can hear each other, but I don't know if you're having an issue hearing us.
Yeah,
right.
It sounds a little wonky over here. So, again, blog talk special. So, all right, let's move ahead here.
Okay.
Beeb, you mentioned this, Rousey versus Nunez, and we don't usually talk UFC on here. We talk about it sometimes, but Rousey versus Nunez, 48 seconds this fight took. Nunez demolished Ronda Rousey. Beeb, did you see this coming?
I did. I was watching this with Linda, and what happened was she picked Rousey, and I picked Nunez, and I told Linda, I said, guess what? Nunez is going to destroy her.
And I don't think anyone believed that that was going to happen beforehand. I don't think anyone saw it coming. A lot of people were saying Rousey was going to win. But, yeah, I actually saw it coming. I saw it coming because this is the thing. You know, you come back from a tough fight like the Holly Holm fight. This is not the opponent you go in there with. This was the wrong opponent. This was the wrong fight at the wrong time. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, you got paid the $3 million and you're going to get a share of the pay-per-view, but now your career's over. Or it's going to be severely, severely hard to come back from two of these knockout losses, two of them. You know, so they did her no favors by throwing her in there right away with a fighter and a person the caliber of Nunes. And now I think that they lost out on their investment. I think she's unsalvageable now. She could come back, but now it's just going to be a slow, slow process. And a lot of people are telling her not to come back.
I don't think she's going to fight anymore.
Okay, Robert, can you say something? Because everything Biba's saying is being garbled.
Eric, I'm able to hear you and I'm able to hear Beeb. So I don't know if it's something on your end.
Yeah, you're garbled too. Would you guys do me a huge favor? Both of you. Could you guys call again?
Yes.
Could you guys just hang up and call again? And maybe that'll help us out here.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to disconnect you two and see if we can call back in and salvage somewhat of a show here. I hate Blog Talk. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but I absolutely hate Blog Talk. Okay, Georgie Porgy is saying, I sound good. You can hear me okay. So we'll kind of move forward and hopefully get the calls in. So I do apologize about it. And hopefully we can get this fixed. But, it was hard to hear. It was just kind of garbled. So, all right. So let's move ahead here. Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao is targeting Jeff Horn for his next fight. Not Terrence Crawford, Jeff Horn. So there you go. Let's bring on Beeb. Beeb, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Any improvement with the sound?
Somewhat. We're talking about Jeff Horn and Manny Pacquiao.
Okay. Yeah, I don't get this fight. I don't see. I don't see what the purpose of this fight is.
If you can hear me, you're breaking up again here. Let me hold on 1 second here. What a lousy show! Unbelievable. I hate Blog Talk. Let's bring Robert on here and see if his connection's any better.
Yeah, I'm here. And again, Eric, I don't know what the problem is because I hear.
All right, if both of you guys can hear me, I don't know what to do here because it's just garbled. It doesn't seem to be that way. And when I look at the chat or whatever, they're saying I sound fine, but when I bring you guys on for whatever reason, you're garbled. I don't think it's your internet connection. I think it's Blog Talk. So give me 2 seconds here. Let me figure this out. So everybody, just bear with me for 1 second here. So we'll talk a little bit about Pacquiao and Jeff Horn here. While the boxing fans would love to see Manny Pacquiao face Terrence Crawford, that would be my personal preference also. Pacquiao's promoter and team have a different plan. Australia's Jeff Horn may be the next opponent for Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao's promoter Bob Arum told Sky Sports, Jeff Horn is a good possibility. I will be flying to the Philippines once I finalized every detail. And it seems likely that the fight will take place in Australia. Now that the new year is over, this is a quote from Bob Arum here. Now that the new year is over, I'm going to finalize the location because we're looking out for an opponent depending on the locations like in England, Australia, Middle East, maybe even Mexico. That's what I want to do with the last period of Manny's career. I want him to be known as a worldwide fighter, stated Arum. So you want him to be known as a worldwide fighter, all right, but you want him to fight Jeff Horn. I don't get this. I really don't get this. Let me bring Beeb on to see if his connection is any better here because sometimes the connection just kind of comes and goes. Beeb,
hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Robert, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, we actually can hear you. Beeb, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Now we're back to normal here, it sounds like.
Sorry about that, guys.
All right, let's go.
All right, awesome.
Yeah. All right, so we're talking about Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn next. I'm not sure if you guys heard what I said about this. It just says that Bob Arum is looking to have the fight based in. It sounds like the fight is going to be based in Australia from everything I've read. And he wants to travel the world and give Manny a bunch of soft touches, it sounds like. Jeff Horn hasn't fought anybody. And I know there was somebody in the chat earlier who was saying, you know, you can't dump on Pacquiao because, you know, he's fought everybody. This is a cherry pick for Pacquiao, yeah? I mean, this is a cherry pick. Vargas was a cherry pick for him. This is an easy fight for him. I mean, and this is a guy, quite honestly, shouldn't be in the ring with him.
Eric, we follow boxing for a living. We do a show once a week. And I hate to say this, and no offense to anybody out there, but I don't even know who the hell Jeff Horn really is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
This is disgusting.
He fought Randall Bailey. That's pretty much the only known fighter on his record here. Let me look it up here. Yeah, he fought Randall Bailey, and that was his biggest win. And Randall Bailey was shot when he fought him. Jeff Horn, I believe, is a school teacher. And I think like a full-time school teacher, I think. He has no business in the ring with Pacquiao at all. And, I mean, this could be dangerous for him. It is a dangerous, dangerous thing. But Ali Funika was the guy he fought last. And Ali Funika is way past his prime, too. He knocked him out, and he knocked out Randall Bailey. Randall Bailey was past his prime in 2005. That was when he fought. I think that was when he fought Miguel Cotto. So, and I understand, you know, it's, and somebody in the chat just mentioned it's foreign and new money overseas. You're right, it is. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to see this fight. And it'll be huge in Australia because nothing ever comes there. You know, I mean, you know, boxing's big over there, but there's no big fights over there, you know, so it'll be huge in Australia. But does anybody want to see this fight? I mean, this is crazy to me. This is not a good fight. What are you doing?
Well, look, I thought Manny Pacquiao only had one more fight left on his contract. It sounds like to me that Bob Arum has given him some kind of extension because now he's on this worldwide tour plan. What's he going to do, find soft touches in every single country he wants to stage a fight? This is not how a future Hall of Famer, as far as a boxer is concerned, should be going out. He should be fighting guys like Terrence Crawford and proving that he's still got something left. I don't know, you know, is Bob senile because he's 84, 85 years old? I'm like, what the hell is Top Rank doing over there?
Right. Right, I have no idea. I mean, Horn, this, of all people.
Is this fight going to be on pay-per-view, or what's it going to be on?
Well, probably over here it will be.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll definitely be in Australia. But, you know, the other thing, too, $20 million a contract, $20 million a fight, that's his contract. That is Pacquiao's contract, $20 million a fight. And he's going to have to restructure. You know, obviously he's going to have to restructure it. Because there's no way you could get $20 million out of fighting Horn.
I thought he was a Filipino senator. I thought politics was supposed to be his new career. What the hell's going on here?
I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it, man. Just an awful, awful fight, you know? And so what's even worse than Pacquiao fighting Jeff Horn is that that's not our train wreck of the week.
No, it's not.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
There you go. There you go. A social media war between Chris Brown and Soulja Boy will apparently be settled in the ring with help of boxer Floyd Mayweather. Thank you, Floyd. Both hip-hop stars have announced that they have signed for a 3-round bout that will be televised on pay-per-view and promoted by Mayweather's company. Soulja Boy put up a post promoting the fight on Instagram on Wednesday. And with the caption, "It's going down, sign my contract." Soldier Boy said Mayweather is training him for the fight, which he said will take place in March in Las Vegas. Brown, Chris Brown, also said on Instagram the match was set. The feud between the two artists stems from Soldier Boy's liking of an Instagram picture posted by Brown's ex-girlfriend, Karachu Tran. I don't know. That's the name I got. So these two morons who don't box at all are going to have a fight on pay-per-view, and we're all expected to chime in. This is like celebrity boxing, dude. This is the kind of stuff like where you see like Refrigerator Perry fight like Ed Too Tall Jones or somebody. You remember those?
Yeah.
Or Manute Bol versus Fridge Perry.
Ed Too Tall Jones actually quit football and did professional fighting for a while, and but the problem was by the time he quit football, he didn't really have a chance to really develop.
I'm gonna mute you because you're garbled. You're garbled up again. So another Blog Talk special. Beeb, what are your thoughts on this? Will you order it?
Absolutely not. I just can't buy this. I can't buy this.
And I do apologize, Beeb, but I'm going to have to mute you as well. Don't really know what's going on with Blog Talk today, but it is what it is. You know what, Beeb? If you want, turn on your microphone. Turn on your microphone. And then maybe we can hear you from that, or maybe we can hear you from YouTube. It sounds like somebody's playing a video game in the background. I've lost my mind on this show. What on... That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a Mario game. It sounds like a Mario game is what this sounds like. You know what? We're going to go ahead and end Blog Talk, and then we're just going to go on YouTube, and hopefully that'll solve the issue. Beeb, if you're listening, that's what we're going to do. We're going to end this episode on Blog Talk and then go straight to YouTube.